It is great to be here this morning, isn't it? Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we are in a series called It's a Stretch. How many of you have been loving the series so far? Didn't Josh do an awesome job this week on that series on It's a Stretch? And I am going to be preaching from, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And it's Psalm 23. How many of you know Psalm 23? Yeah, someone's clapping. I didn't even say anything yet. That's awesome. Psalm 23, woohoo! Psalm 23, okay, we're wrapping it up. Bring the worship team up, let's go. Okay, let's read together. We're gonna read the scriptures together. I'm excited for that. If you have your Bible, it's Psalm 23. I'm actually gonna be reading from the King James Version because that's where I learned it from, and I'll be reading the version of my Bible, the ESV version, and I'll probably naturally just start saying King James Version, so I just thought I'd just read from it anyway. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that first, we are your sheep. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us into a relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that we never run out. We never are left lost. Thank you, Lord, that we're never left hungry because you're with us. Thank you, Lord, that you're the bringer of direction. You're the bringer of hope. You're the bringer of guidance, God. We love you so much. And we pray, Lord, that you would renew within us the remembrance of you as our shepherd. We love you, Lord. Amen. 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 How many of you guys have had an accountability partner when it comes to anything? Whether it be a diet, whether it be a workout partner, whether it be maybe it's like, you eat too many cookies and you need someone to hold you accountable to not eating so many cookies. For me, I had an accountability partner when it came to working out. And his name's Griffin. He was one of our interns from last year. And it worked. There are ways that it was the best thing ever, but there are also other ways where it was actually the worst thing ever. So Griffin and I both loved days where we work our upper body, because who likes a leg day? Who really likes a leg day? If you raise your hand, I'm going to send you out of the room. You do not like leg days. No one can tell me that. Come on. There's no way you like leg day. Get out of here. Anyways, you guys are killing this story right now. Come on. Let's just say no one likes leg days. Let's just say, just for the sake of the story, no one likes leg days. Anyway, so Griffin and I started working out together, and it didn't work out so well when it came to leg days because we both didn't like them. So usually when you have an accountability partner, if you're not strong in one area, you usually want someone who is strong in the other area, so they're actually a source of encouragement. But what would happen is like, okay, we're working biceps today, okay? Awesome, sweet, we love this. Okay, we're working chest today. Okay, we're doing cardio today. We even like cardio more than leg day. That says something. And then as soon as we get to leg day, we would say, hey, Griff, it's leg day today. I would say that. And he'd say, like, oh, I know. And then we would say, hey, how about we hit it next week? Let's hit it next week. And then next week would come. Hey, Griff, just so you know, Monday is leg day. And we're like, oh, yeah, something came up. Sorry. How about buys tomorrow? And we would constantly make excuses not to do leg day. And I can tell you the truth that in an 8-month period, we probably hit legs about 5 times. But there's a specific time where I remember my partnership with Griffin worked out really well. And it was when a day when we were doing chest day, and I was going for a level of weight that I haven't done before. And I like to work up to it. So I like added the weight, I lifted it, added the weight, lifted it. Then I got to the point where I added a weight that I never actually have lifted before. And I went like this. I lifted it. And then it was above my chest. And I brought it down, and I went to go up with it. And it was just way too heavy. And I did something that my 17-year-old self would have gawked at. I said, "Griffin, I need help. It's just way too heavy." And for me, it was like the biggest shot to my pride, because I'm like, I should be able to lift this. Even though I've never done this before, I should be able to lift this. But in a moment, I had an epiphany. I was like, how many times in life do we feel like the weights, the pressures, the stresses are just a bit too heavy? When we feel like, okay, the expenses are just too much. Where we feel like the anxiety or the depression just weighs too heavy on my heart. And oftentimes we like to put God in this place of our spotter, but he's actually more than that. He's more than just our spotter. He's the person who's carrying the weight. He says, "Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He said, the things that you find heavy, the things that you find difficult to lift, are actually easy because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I was designed, in other words, he's saying, I was designed to carry this weight. You were not. So I want to invite you into my yoke. I want to invite you into this relationship where it looks like you're carrying a lot, but it's actually me who's carrying you with the weight you're carrying. And I know that there's people in this room that are carrying just way too much. Maybe it's the mother who you have such a supportive husband, but just because he works far away, it's just too much. The kids just get too much at times. Maybe it's the retiree who, I thought I had enough to take me through retirement, but it's just way too much. The burden is just way too much. Maybe it's that real estate agent. Maybe it's that salesperson. Maybe it's that business person who you thought you were going to have a good month, but you just didn't have that month. I remember, for me, it was leadership. I was asked today to talk about the it's a stretch in the context of leadership. And for me, there were seasons, even in this past year, when it just felt a bit too much. And I remember just carrying a lot, whether it be at the church, at Gilardi, family stuff, whatever was going on. And I remember God bringing me to this psalm and him reminding me of the fact that it's not me who's carrying it, but it's him. So I want to break this passage apart, this fairly well-known passage, and I want to show again why this passage is such an encouraging moment for me. Why is it such an encouraging portion for me when I'm going through the stresses and burdens of not only leadership but life? And I believe that there's people in this room who, whether you're in the season right now or you've been in the season where you just feel like, oh, sometimes it just feels like the burden is just too heavy. How many of you can resonate with that? Sometimes you feel like the burden's just a bit too heavy. Okay, let's talk this through. So we're reading from a guy named David who has some shepherding experience. So he's someone who's not a stranger to the craft and to the trade of shepherding. So he knows what it means to be a shepherd. And he knows what it means to have sheep, or he understands, whether it be vicariously or directly, about what it means to be a sheep. And he's writing a psalm. So this is like a very vulnerable prayer. And he's writing, and again, he wouldn't have known when he's writing this. He wouldn't have necessarily known that people were going to be reading this. So he was just writing in all honesty. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's writing to God. He's saying, God, this is what you are to me. But I just want to break this apart a bit. So again, David was no stranger to the stresses of life. He was a military man, so he would have understood what it meant to literally be staring stress straight in the eye. He was a leader of a country. There was actually a moment in his life where his father-in-law literally tried to kill him. You guys, when met face-to-face, with David, no one in this room can complain about in-laws anymore. Because he literally had his father-in-law try to kill him. We have to remember that the writers in the biblical text are writing with their experience as their gamut. So they're allowing their experience to shape the way they write and the way they interact with God. So David is a shepherd, and this is his prayer and his reminder to the burdened. It's his reminder to the people who just experience stress. It's his reminder to a church that is hurting. It's his reminder. So I want to talk about this a bit. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So the better rendering is actually, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." So he's talking about these green pastures, the green pastures that represent plenty and health and sustenance. I'm just picturing a sheep walking alongside the green pastures. That means the actual grass is edible. It's fulfilling. It's nutritious. And then the still waters means peace or security. How many of you guys have been in a rushing river and trying to like scoop up water? Yeah, you can catch it, but it's harder than if you're like just kneeling down by a lake that is still and you're able just to scoop up water and drink it. So he's saying that this idea of still waters is something that comes from dwelling with the shepherd. This idea of green pastures is something that comes due to the provision of the shepherd. But what's important to note is that David did not put emphasis on the provision. He said, "Oh, I have green pastures, I have still waters." But he's stating that the security is not in the pastures or in the water, but in the shepherd himself. He's stating that God, that his relationship with God as a shepherd, states that God is not just the source of the provision, but he's the provision himself. God is not just the source of the blessing, but he is the blessing. I remember at Christmas break going home and looking face to face with a woman by the name of Ethel Fisher, and she was 94 years old. And I watched as she's been serving on our prayer team at my church back home for about 50 years. She's been serving for like years and years and years. And I watched as she walked down the aisle as people were receiving salvation, and she was receiving people and praying for them. And afterwards, I waited and I said, "Ethel, do you remember me?" And she said, of course, Daniel. And I love asking her kind of these crucial questions, because I'm like, okay, what's gonna matter to me most at that stage of life? And I said, "Ethel, what do you want people to remember you by?" And she said, "I want people to remember me as someone who found security and found fulfillment in just Jesus. When people see me at my funeral, I want people to see Jesus. And for me, I saw someone who found their fulfillment, who found their sustenance in Jesus himself." So often we see Jesus as, "Jesus, please help me to have a good month when it comes to business. Help me to have a good month. Like, help my kids to just be awesome today. Help them maybe not to wake me up tonight because I want to get a good night of sleep." But the only thing that is going to keep us when all of our blessings are stripped away from us is a recognition of Jesus himself being the blessing. It's like I can recount countless stories of people who lose it all in third world countries. But they're able to keep this high level of hope because it's not the material blessings that they place all of their stake in, but it's Jesus as the blessing himself. So we have to remember that as a shepherd, we lack nothing. And before I used to read this as like, okay, like because the Lord is my shepherd, it means whatever I want, I'll get. Like, okay, the Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. Okay, Lord, so does that mean that because I want my mortgage to be paid off, it'll be paid off? Or Lord, does it mean that because I want a new car, it will be paid off? Like, no, it doesn't mean that. That was never promised to us. But he did promise his presence. He did promise his presence. And guys, I can tell you the truth. When it's just too much to bear, when it's just too heavy, his presence is all that matters. It's the only thing that it was designed and meant to carry us to the next day. His presence is enough. He is not just the source of provision, but he is the provision itself. The next thing, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I believe in this portion right here, the thing that's underspoken about is the symbols of rod and staff. The rod was always, in all throughout scripture, it's always a symbol of discipline. It was always a symbol of discipline. So again, that could be a whole nother teaching. But I want to zero in on the staff, because the staff is almost like a symbol of shepherding to me. And the staff for David, who would have grown up, again, hearing the stories of Israel, of the prophets, of the priests, of the people, when they left Egypt and they walked through the sea and Jesus split the sea and was able to lead them through salvation. But at first, again, he gave Moses his staff. And he said, Moses, when they ask you who sent you, say I am. And the only thing I want you to take with you is this staff. So for David, this was more than just a symbol of shepherding. The staff was more than just a symbol of the person who leads the sheep. But it was a symbol of salvation. The staff was a symbol of salvation. I remember that time. I remember that story long, long ago where my grandpa would always tell me, my father would always tell me about when God was faithful to the people of Israel. I'm telling you, the only thing that will bring you through seasons of burden, of stress, of heaviness, when you're just stressed beyond what you could take, is a remembrance of God's faithfulness. So if we don't remember where God has been faithful in our lives, we will forget his presence. If we don't remember when he led us into the promised land, we won't, when we're out of food, when things aren't going our way, we won't remember that. We won't be able to hold on to his faithfulness if we forget it. Remember that God has made himself known with us. I'm sure everybody in this room, if you think really hard, for some of you, maybe it's easy to think about. You can remember God's faithfulness in your life. That you can remember that time when you didn't think you were going to make rent, and somehow God came up with that money. You can remember that time when you were going on that missions trip. You can remember that time when you didn't think you were going to close the deal. You can remember that time when your child was sick in bed, or when that family member was so far from God that you thought they would never come near, and then they came to church and experienced the power of the gospel and experienced salvation. You can remember the time of faithfulness. Guys, we can't forget God's faithfulness. If we forget it, again, we're gonna be so led astray. But allow his faithfulness to be your comfort. Allow his rod and his staff, specifically his staff, to comfort you. For David, it was a symbol of salvation. What's your symbol of salvation? I remember last summer around this time, actually, we were about a month and a half into the program, and I remember we had one student signed up for the internship program. And I remember this is going to be a very intentional discipleship process, because it's just me and this other person. It was Hudson Gallardi. And I remember thinking, Hudson and I are going to have a lot of fun this year if I still have my job. And I remember God asking me, have I not been faithful to you before? Have I not shown myself with the ability to provide before? And he said, why do you doubt that I'll do it again? And at that point, I was so humbled. I was like, God, why is it that no matter how many times you prove yourself faithful to me, I still doubt? Guys, it's okay to doubt. But something that helps with that doubt is when we look back to our life and we remember God has been faithful. God has been faithful. As you look your kids in the eye, remember that they in themselves are a miracle. God is faithful. That in itself is a sign of God's faithfulness. As you go to your job, that often I always laugh. I'm like, the things that we complain most about are things that at one point we thought were a blessing. Like I love hearing people like complain about their jobs. I remember in a week period, I was talking to a youth student who was like, who one week they're like, oh, I'm hoping to get a job. And they got a part-time job. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Literally a week later, I just hate my job. I'm like, you've literally been working for three shifts. What do you mean you hate your job? And it's just like, no, we have to remember that these things in our lives that stare us face to face on a daily basis are actually signs of God's faithfulness. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There was an instance in 1 Samuel 16:13 where David is anointed, where the prophet Samuel goes to the house of Jesse where David was in. And he goes through all the brothers because he's looking for the king. Jesus said, the king is going to come from this house. And he goes to the king. He tries brother to brother to brother to brother to brother to brother. Being a guy with brothers, I can't tell you how annoyed I would be if I was passed over for Gabe. Probably would be, actually. But then Samuel goes to the field and finds the person of David in the field as a shepherd, tending to the sheep as a young boy. And he says, you're the guy. You're the king. And Samuel takes his anointing oil and pours it over David's head. And this wasn't anything crazy, anything crazy spiritual, but it was more symbolic of the presence of God going with him. It was symbolic, the presence of God going with him. So as David's writing this psalm, he would have remembered, you anoint my head with oil. He would have literally been able to point back to the day as a youth when his head was anointed with oil. And he would have remembered that, hold on, all I needed in that moment for the next challenge in life was the Spirit of God. So David wasn't given the signet ring yet. He wasn't given the platform yet. He wasn't given the kingdom yet. But all he was given was the awareness of the challenge and the Spirit of God. I believe that a lot of us are sitting in challenge right now. A lot of us are sitting in that like it's almost like a suffocating stress right now. And we just need to be reminded that the presence of God is enough. The Spirit of God is enough. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's like, who can sit down for dinner in the presence of their enemies? Again, this is a military man. So he would have known what stress it brought to have the enemies in your presence. So every time he would have seen the enemies face to face, he would have been like, oh shoot, like, okay. But to think that he would be sitting at a table, at a banquet table, in the presence of the enemies. The only people who can sit at peace in the presence of enemies, whether it be debt, whether it be anxiety, whether it be conflict, are people who are victorious. Who else? Who else can sit in the presence of their enemies than those who are already victorious? Do you know that because you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you're already victorious? So anxiety has no place. Depression has no place because you're already victorious. I know that there's people in this room who feel just defeated, who feel like, oh yeah, I know in theory, I know theologically, I know intellectually that Jesus already won. But for me on a daily basis, to be honest, I just don't feel that. But you have to know that you're already victorious. David didn't get a ring, the robe, or the kingdom. He just got the anointing. He just got the oil, the symbol of the presence of God dwelling with him, going with him, and guiding him. And that's all he needed. He found himself content in his season because he had the Spirit of God with him. The only way we will be content and composed in the presence of our enemies is if we realize that the Spirit of God is dwelling with us and in us. The Holy Spirit is all we need to face our... I remember there being seasons where I said, God, like, okay, this week is too full. I literally slam-packed from 9 to 10. And I remember thinking, like, God, like, if it's not your Spirit, I will not be able to do it. We have to be willing to rest in the presence of God itself. I remember, for me, there was a moment this past year where I was faced with my fatal flaw. And for me, I'm very much so like goal-oriented, performance-driven, which is my fatal flaw, I believe. Because oftentimes I'll put too much weight on myself. I'll put too much of that burden. I'll allow myself to stretch too thin. And I remember there was a night where I was up working. It was about 1:30 a.m. And I was thinking, I was like, I need to get this done for tomorrow. I need to get this done for tomorrow. I need to get this done for tomorrow. And I remember God asking me, Daniel, do you trust me? He said, Daniel, who holds your world in order? And if I was being honest in that moment, I would have said, God, like, honestly, I think it's me. Like, and for me, it was just like this humbling moment where it's like, no, like, haven't I taken you this far? Haven't I proven myself faithful this far? And I remember, it sounds so small, but I remember the biggest act of trust I could have done in that moment was going to bed. It was going to bed. And for the people right now, maybe it's the type A's in the room, the performance-driven, the goal-oriented, the target hitters in this room, that your biggest act, the biggest act of trusting God that you can do on a daily basis is going to bed before 10 p.m., For me, there was a weak period where I had to challenge myself to get to bed. And not because, again, I want to avoid work, but it was just because, like, I wanted God to know and I wanted my soul to remember that it's God we trust in, not my ability to produce. So I believe that, again, there's going to be moments in life where we're going to have to remember that it will get done. God will provide. Maybe for some of you, it's putting your phone down when you're with your kids. Maybe it's trusting that email will get answered soon. Maybe it's turning your phone off. Whatever it is, allowing yourself to get to this place of trusting God. I remember in that moment, God said, my presence is enough to stop. So stop driving yourself. He said, you are more than your self-imposed daily quota. He's like, I haven't put this quota in front of you. Why are you pushing yourself to hit that? I'm your shepherd. Find your rest in my green pastures. Find your the restoration of your soul in the waters that I put before you. And I remember for me, I crawled into bed in that moment and I rested my head on the pillow. And when I rested my head on the pillow, it was this act of trusting God, allowing him to renew my mind, and allowing him to reorder my heart. As I took that step of trust, I allowed God to change my thinking when it comes to moments of stretching. And even though silly, my philosophy of a pillow was changed. So every day now, I go to bed and I rest my head on the pillow and I say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for restoring my soul. Thank you that I no longer have to trust in myself. The pillow has become a symbol and a memory post of who my shepherd is. Some of you guys, it's hard for you. There's anxiety that hits you as soon as your head hits that pillow. There's stress. Everything that you have to do for the week ahead hits you when your head hits that pillow. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking, trust me, MyPillow already plays a huge role in my life. I love sleeping. That's not my problem. Maybe your problem is going out and trusting God, taking risks, applying for a job, and saying, God, whatever you give me, I'm trusting you to steward my life well. Maybe for you, it's like, I need to go back to school. God has given me this mind, but I need to trust him with it. All of us have times where we forget who the shepherd is. Whoever you are, you need something, someone, or a practice in your life to remind you of who the shepherd is. For me, it's the pillow, and it's the second symbol. It's the staff. I know some of you may think this is just a straggly old stick from the forest, and it is. But this has become a symbol of his shepherding in my life. I remember when I was a kid, the reason I know this chapter, every night my dad would call us to the room, his room, and he would ask us, oftentimes he would kneel with us, but he'd ask us to kneel alongside the bed, and it was the three or four of us, before my sister moved out, it was the four of us, with my dad, kneeled beside the bed, and my mom would either be fixing some stuff up from the day, or she'll be laying in bed. And I remember us all kneeling beside the bed and saying this prayer, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we went and we said it, we prayed it. And I remember in those moments when I was a kid, I was like, why do we have to do this? I just get rug burn every time. And I know this already. Why do we have to say it again? And I thought, I was like, Dad, I was thinking, I was like, Dad, why do we have to pray this prayer? I never said it because I was probably too scared or something. And I remember recently studying this passage and asking, why did Dad make us always pray that prayer? And it's because he never wanted us to forget who the shepherd of our family was. And it was just, you know how amazing that is to see the person who you think is your provider, the person who you think is your shepherd, your dad or your mom, whoever it may be, kneel down beside you and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know how humbling that is? And we prayed it, and we prayed it, and we prayed it. And for me, years and years and years later, I'm in this place where I just can't. It's so etched in my mind that I can't forget who the shepherd is, because it's God. So there's three things that became true, hard, and fast symbols for me as to the Lord's shepherdhood in my life. It's the kneeling in reverence and saying that prayer. It's my head hitting the pillow, and it's the staff. And I believe that there are people here today that need to be reminded of who their shepherd is, just like I have. Just the quotas that you put on yourself, just the demands that your boss puts on yourself. Maybe it's the demands that you feel like you have to meet for your kids. You just feel like the burden is just too heavy. Too heavy to bear. And you need that reminder of who your shepherd is. You need that reminder that you lack nothing because he is your shepherd. I want to give you a moment right now to come up here. And not as a super spiritual act, but just as more of a symbolic act. I want you to come up here. I'll be the first to do it. And as I pray the Lord's Prayer, I want you just to come up and touch the staff. Again, it is just a straggly stick I got from the forest, but it's a symbol of this greater submission, this greater longing for the shepherd and his role and his presence in our life. Because it's going to be him leading your family when things just aren't turning out financially as well as you thought. It's going to be him leading your kids when they maybe wander off. It's going to be him protecting you and holding you throughout retirement or when that retirement check doesn't come in time. It's going to be Him holding you in those moments of depression and anxiety. It's only going to be His shepherdhood that's going to be with you. So here, I'm going to invite you up to just come up and touch the staff as I read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever, forever, forever. That's so securing. That's so reassuring. I'd like to invite everyone to stand up as people are making their way to the front. Keep making your way to the front if you're feeling you need that reminder. It's awesome. It's awesome. If everyone can bow their head and close their eyes. If you're walking back to your seat, maybe wait till you get to your seat to close your eyes, because we don't want any accidents. Bow your head and close your eyes. And I believe that there's someone in this room, there are people in this room, who actually don't need a reminder of who their shepherd is, because this is actually their first time finding out that there is a good shepherd. In John 10:14, we see Jesus, our Savior, the ultimate shepherd, say, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. There are people in this room who do not yet know that they're known, who do not yet know that there is a shepherd who loves and cares for them. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'd like to invite you, if you want to know your good shepherd today, Jesus, who died, who laid down His life for His sheep, I'd like you to raise your hand right now for salvation. If this is your first time experiencing the hand of salvation, the staff of salvation that is reminding you, that is keeping you, I see that hand. Pastor George, if you're in here, if you can be keeping your eyes open, I see that hand. I see those hands. Awesome. Awesome. If you want to know your good shepherd, keep those hands in the air. I'm telling you, there's no greater love. There's no greater love than when you know who that good shepherd is, who cares for you. You can put your hand down. I know how tired it gets, spirit. You know who your shepherd is. And I'd like for you to come. Is Pastor George in the room? Is Pastor George in the room? Okay. If Keith and Pat, if you guys can go to that corner over there, I'm going to be over there right after service too. If you can come, bring a Connect card. There's a Connect card right in front of you. If you can bring a Connect card, it should be in your seat, and go find us over there. We want to chat with you about who the Good Shepherd is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for who You are. I thank You that You're the God of salvation that leads us with the staff of salvation. God, You are so good. You are kind. You're merciful. You're slow to anger. You're quick to bring us back into Your fold. God, because of You, we can find trust. We can find hope. We can find fullness of joy. God, bless us today as we remember who our good shepherd is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.